Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Mark, who is here to speak with us about the practice of reflective listening. Welcome, Mark.
Hi, Jen.
Hey, thanks for being with us.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So, largely through the Reflective Listening Buddies program, a number of folks in Sangha have really started seeing the benefits of using reflective listening kind of in their practice and in their life in general. And I know that you're a great enthusiast of the practice.
I am.
And so we thought it would be great to have you on this afternoon just to talk a little bit about your own experience of that.
Well, thank you. Yes, I know. I'm effusive about it. I know.
Perfect. You're a perfect candidate.
I really started Reflective Listening Buddies maybe 8 years ago, and I really wasn't very involved in the rest of the practice. And it was for me such an incredible kind of, first of all, it makes you so present, you know, just to be listening, and just in that very beginning, just to actually repeat what the other person said, if you could do that. That requires so much presence.
It really does. It really does. Yeah. Even that.
Okay, Jen, are you back?
There you are.
For the third time, okay.
Yeah, it's very strange. It's just, as far as I can tell, the signal's fine, and then it just drops. So,
yeah.
But I'm back.
Amen.
So, after that first, what you started us off with, Mark, I just saw how, just right there, that's a huge shift in orientation, right? Because normally, when we're in conversation, I'm sort of, you know, vaguely listening to you, but mostly thinking about what I'm going to say next, right? So to have that orientation of, I know that I'm going to the best of my ability, as you say, to reflect back what you're saying, and I'm listening in a whole different way to be able to do that.
Really? I mean, it becomes very intense. And then I had learned kind of along the way that sometimes people say things that, one, they don't really understand what they just said. I mean, they haven't actually heard it. And sometimes they say things in a way that if you say it back to them as closely as you can to how they said it, it actually kind of triggers for them an understanding that they might not have otherwise received.
Wow. Wow. So there's the second revolutionary point. We don't listen to ourselves. So then we don't hear ourselves.
Right.
And so to have someone reflect back for us what we're saying as closely as they can in that person's own words is such a gift, because then we get to actually hear ourselves.
Really? And then what this amazing thing happens, no, I really am effusive about this practice. The amazing thing happens is that my experience being reflected is that the person who's reflecting me really understands in a way that is not common on a day-to-day basis.
So let me see if I'm tracking that. So in being reflected, you feel like the person who's reflecting you is really kind of understanding you in a way that doesn't necessarily happen on a day-to-day basis.
Exactly. And over a period of the quarter that we do that, it builds a kind of sense of camaraderie, or maybe a sense of being closer than, you know, you get this sense of understanding that just doesn't happen, you know, otherwise.
Yes, and as you're talking, Mark, so you're talking specifically about having a reflective listening buddy over the course of a quarter. I think the for that program, it's set up into 3-month sections, that you really... there's an intimacy that happens there, which, as you're speaking, you know, it happens on retreat as well. And it's such an interesting paradox, because we would think, well, I'm not talking to these people, you know, in the case of retreat or in reflective listening buddies, I'm not sharing our opinions and, you know, that sort of thing. So how are we going to get close? But there's such an intimacy that happens in that kind of an environment there.
So much so. And, you know, as I've gone along in the practice and begun to understand it in some slightly greater depth, you know, I realized that it kind of opens up, you know, at the risk of being maudlin, it opens up the opportunity to love. And and I feel loved, and I love. And maybe I'm projecting, you know, all of this, but it's a great experience.
It's a fabulous projection. And since we're always projecting, might as well project that, right?
Yeah, amen.
Yes. Well, and, you know, what's so profound as you're speaking, Mark, that I'm hearing in that is that it makes so much sense. Because if, as I'm listening to you, all of my attention is on you, instead of, let's face it, where it normally would be on the conditioned conversation, on, quote, me, but not really me, not who I am authentically, but more, you know, what do you think about me? And what am I, you know, that self-consciousness or what I want or what's important to me or those sorts of things. And that, of course, is a process of separation. And so if my attention is with you, the person I'm speaking with, listening to, then it's not on the I and there isn't that separation. So it makes so much sense that there would be that love that you're pointing at.
Absolutely. And so the effect is that oftentimes we're when it's our turn to speak, I certainly am, you know, I'm describing some difficulty I had with conditioning, or maybe I'm describing some incredibly joyous experience, but the process opens up this kind of, this place of heart, this place of universal love, and we end up laughing, you know, and things that are just really hard today suddenly become not so hard.
Gosh, Mark, I can, as you're describing, I can go right there. I can feel what you're describing.
I just want to add one more thing because it's a new thing for me. Do we have time? Yeah. So, Sherry, I'm not sure where it happened, but she said something, when I was listening at least, where she talked about actually the experience that she has of kind of reflecting and how wonderful it is to be reflected by somebody she's working with. And I spent the last, I don't know, year or so listening very carefully, trying to understand. For instance, you reflect in a very sophisticated way, and she does too, and Ashwini, and others who have practiced. And it is a delight to consider that it doesn't have to actually be word for word. There's something else, and I don't know what it is yet. I'm practicing with it, but it's really exciting.
Right. Well, that is a fun place of inquiry, isn't it? Because, as you say that, what just dropped in is, so there is the literal practice of reflective listening, which, just to do a little commercial for that, we actually have a corner that's starting soon, but I think the deadline to sign up for it has actually passed. But so there'll be another quarter to probably starting early winter, and sign up, you know, information to sign up for that will come out. But so there's that literal practice where you really practice listening, as you said, as closely as you can, reflecting back the words of the person. And as with any practice, there's such a huge benefit, isn't there, in starting with a simple practice and really sticking to the particular form of it. And once there's sort of that mastery of the form, what feels like you're pointing at and looking at is, gosh, wouldn't it be exciting to consider that the spirit of reflective listening, which is to be listening from that place of non-separation, is available all the time in everything we're doing, not just in a literal reflective listening way.
Yes, exactly. And indeed, I found now to take that out into the world other than the experience of just being on the call, is that sometimes if I'm in a place where the person I'm talking to or attempting to work with is upset or otherwise distracted, or, you know, we can't really find a place of communication, if I reflect them Mm-hmm. It's amazing how that opens up. And it, if nothing else happens, it helps me to center. So I'm not getting caught up in the ego-centric karma conditioning self-hate thing that's happening between us.
Yes, and that's it, isn't it? It's just like everything we do in practice. There, very likely, everyone in my life is a beneficiary of me practicing. But that's a side benefit. The main benefit is what's required of me, where I get to go in order to come from that place. And that's the exquisite, amazing benefit of all of it. Yeah.
Right. It's like opening heart up and allowing whatever this beautiful existence kind of energy thing is, you could call it God if you could define it. It's letting that come through, letting that intuitive clarity, and that, you know, I can't reach for it because I know that doesn't get it, but I'm certainly open to the possibility.
Yes, yes, amen. Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Mark, believe it or not, we are at the top of the hour, so I just want to thank you again so much for being with us this afternoon. Lovely to hear your experience of it and to get to go right there.
Thank you so much. Thanks for letting me talk about it.
Thank you, Mark. Take good care.
Okay. Yeah, you too.
Okay. Bye-bye. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Mark. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm in Murphy's, getting ready to start the retreat this evening, and it's been raining.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. The wind is blowing, and it's raining, and of course, this is Seasons of Joy, fall, and we are definitely having some fall weather. That's very exciting.
Exciting. Exciting. That's great.
October 3rd, and it's raining.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
This is good.
Yes, yes. And I enjoyed that conversation.
Ah, yes. I should say
so. I'm good. I'm good. Thank you for asking. And
What did you enjoy? What did you enjoy about it?
I enjoyed the Mark's passion and enthusiasm and energy for the process. It was great. It sounded like a true believer to me.
The one that I like best, I liked each one of his points, but the one I liked best was the last one. To be able to use those tools. So you're with somebody who is having a hard time, who's upset, who whatever is going on, and especially if one is involved in that upset oneself, like maybe the person is upset with me, or not, but it's easy to get pulled off and distracted and caught up and all of that, and to use those tools to reflect somebody is such a brilliant centering exercise. Because we can't go off and get distracted and listen to ego conversations and that sort of thing if we're listening really carefully so that we can reflect the person that we're with.
Yes, yes, exactly. And I don't know if this is your experience, but I know when I'm in a circumstance like that where I'm reflecting and perhaps I'm upset or there's some charge there, that the reflecting that I do buys me time to center and to sort of process and get present and relax. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because my attention isn't on where conditioned mind would be going. It's on the person I'm reflecting. So there's you know, as we practice more, there's just no attention left over for ego. So we get centered.
That's
a
good thing.
Yeah, and we're a benefit to the other person and definitely a benefit to ourselves.
Yes, yes, exactly. I have announcements here, unless there's something else you want to add about
that
conversation.
No, thank you.
Okay. Sangha will gather on Saturday, October 14th in San Francisco for the 16th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk to benefit the Africa Vulnerable Children Project. You don't want to miss this exciting and joy-filled community experience.
Yes,
and find out more.
The point is, even though the registration time has passed, people could still come.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yes,
everybody's invited. Yeah, good.
Yeah, great. And find out more about the Team 150K Challenge to support the Africa Project on the project's webpage at livingcompassion.org. Recording and listening is not just for grown-ups. Youngsters have reported feeling happier, calmer, kinder, and more relaxed using this fabulous practice tool. A fun and transformative parent-child recording and listening class is starting October 23rd.
I think that sounds like great fun.
Yes. Yes, I'm looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. Celebrate 2017 and start the next year with Sangha at the New Year's Retreat, December 27th through January 1st in Menlo Park, California. The retreat features meditation, group discussions, yoga, guidance with you, Sherry, and free time to spend in nature on beautiful, spacious grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
Hey, and I just got a text message, I bet you did too, that I was wrong.
Yeah.
Registration is still open. T-shirts.
Yeah, for the bridge walk.
T-shirt registration has closed, but for everything else, come on down.
Good news. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Get your burrito.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And a few reminders for today's show. If you'd like to talk with Sherry today, press *6 and then 1. That's how you make guest show and get in the queue. And a conversation about 5 minutes long on one topic is really great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you ready, Sherry?
I'm ready.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Rochelle in Charlotte.
Hey, Rochelle.
Hey, Rochelle.
How are you doing?
I am doing wonderful. I'm doing wonderful. I was excited hearing the good news update about recording and listening and reflective listening buddies, particularly because I've been doing it for a few years, and I got to tell you, that has kept me grounded in practice, participating in reflective listening buddies, and I've gone through a lot of things and a lot of ups and downs and worked through a lot of things in practice, and it is just so helpful to hear someone else reflect what you just said, and you're able to hear yourself in a different way.
Mhm. Yeah, it's a great this is the I started down this sentence and I don't know if I want to finish it, but to me it's way better than therapy.
Right? I was going to say thing.
Yeah. And the therapists who are listening are probably going, "No, it's not." Because you're not going to get anybody else's opinion, right? You just get a chance to say what's going on with you and hear yourself reflected. So as Mark and Jen were pointing out, you really do get to hear what you're saying. It gets it outside the head, and we get to hear it come back to us, and it's just it's the best.
It is the best. It is the best. I am also looking forward to the parent-child recording and listening course because this has been just awesome how things just kind of unfold. My niece is kind of teamed with me for the fundraising for Canalomba and for the Africa Project. And she's been participating with that. And she's now just gotten in high school. And I've been wanting to kind of introduce her to that self-mentoring type of thing. It just has occurred at the perfect time. And so I'm looking forward to that. You know, you want so much for your children. You kind of have to show them. You can't tell them or you can't have an agenda because they can spot that a mile away.
Right.
But they
don't want to hear it from old people.
Yeah. Exactly. But I think that having this tool, this something to do, and having it kind of in a paired course type of thing is just going to be awesome. And she sees my recorder around and everything. I have a recorder here, there, and everywhere. She was excited about it, and also that I would get her own recorder. Type of thing. So I'm excited about that. Again, that reflection, hearing yourself reflected and things like that, to self mentor and to kind of get out of your head and to be able to listen to what's going on in your head.
Yeah, and to get in touch with your heart. That's the thing I'm most excited about with recording and listening for young people, because even at 14, I guess she's 14, or right around that age, they're still in touch with that experience of non-separation that we have when we're little, and very in touch with the process of separation that happens as kids grow up and coming into puberty. And so to get back in touch with that innocence and that authenticity and be able to stay with that in spite of all the stuff that comes at kids, especially through puberty and launch into the world. I just think the potential for it is tremendous.
Oh, yes. I mean, you know, she deals with some, you know, she's got things that she deals with at school and things like that and stress.
It's an awful time. It's an awful time. Whenever I hear somebody say, oh, the best years of your life, I think, you must have been doing drugs during that time. Because if you were actually there for that preteen through teen through high school, that for an awful lot of us was not a good time.
Oh, yeah. I would never want to return to that.
It's getting worse all the time.
Exactly. And so just seeing her go through it and the kind of pains and insecurities and pressures and then, you know, just this society these days, it's kind of hard type of thing.
Yeah.
And so I wish I had this when I was going through adolescence and things like that. And I take care of a lot of young women who are going through similar things. So it's not just her. And I have the opportunity to interact with young women and stuff. And and I've even said, it's so funny, because I even caught myself saying, kind of battling that self-hate and that conversation that people hear and young women hear. And I said, you know, even if you have to record it on a tape recorder and plug it into your ears and say, I love myself and I am just fine, then do that. You have my permission to do that and listen to good things. And the only thoughts you can entertain are good thoughts. And if you have to listen to it on a tape recorder 24 hours a day, then you can do that.
That's right. Get it from somewhere. And why not get it from an authority that you can actually trust? Yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. I do try to help squash that self-hate conversation and the things that go on, and it can be debilitating, you know, not just in young people.
Oh, absolutely.
And so trying to squash that And I agree with you wholeheartedly. Recording and listening, reflective listening buddies is the way to kind of stop it in its tracks. Mm-hmm. So.
All right. Well, I can see that there's a rebellion fomenting there in North Carolina, a takeover of the recording and listening and the reflective listening. And this is very, very good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Most definitely. Yeah. Most definitely. And I do kind of use some of that technique in my professional practice of kind of reflecting and kind of teasing that out. So I really appreciate the practice. That's really it. I just wanted to touch base and check in. And
give us an amen.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's good to hear your voice, Rochelle. All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rochelle, and a big amen to that conversation, Sherry.
Yeah, I just hope it goes that way, exactly like that. Let it be something that spreads through the culture in that way, so that, you know, this person tells this person finds a way to use it in whatever they're doing and share it with others, and
Yes, and I like what you said about getting information from the one source that we can trust, which is ourselves, and to hear the goodness in our own voice and see that and to be reminded of it. Like Rochelle was saying, if you need to listen to it 24 hours a day, which apparently I do, it's good.
Well, the fellow on Project Joy this morning, who I was just stunned and deeply grateful when he said, you know, listen to it 11 or 12 hours out of the day, and I thought, yes. Now there is my hero, because this is somebody who is getting good information for many, many of his waking hours, and it is transformational.
Yes, it's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Dan from Los Angeles.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Hey. So amen number two coming up here. I was calling to share about some experiences with reflective listening, and in particular what was coming up was I have had a habit in the past of, or I has had a habit of offering help. Oh, I see what's going on for you. I think this would help. And now that I've been doing reflective listening buddies for a while, if I'm not reflected there, now I know I realize this is a little ego takeover, but there's a little like, that's not what I said. And what I realized was I don't want to be helped. I just want to be reflected, and that made it very clear to me that the most helpful thing is to reflect. I don't have to offer anything from me.
Yes, because we'll get there, won't we?
Yeah.
I mean, so you know, if it's somebody that you care about, they may not be getting there as quickly as you want them to, and you can be pretty clear that if you would just do what I'm saying, you would get there a lot faster. Right, and nobody wants that. We don't want it. Nobody wants it. We want to take our own steps down the path, and it's so respectful to realize that for others, no matter how much we love them, want to take care of them, or protect them, or make sure they get it right, or whatever it is, they want to have their own direct experience, just like we do.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, it's a common occurrence at retreat, you know, to show up and ask the monks, well, what should I do? And that's not helpful. I mean, even if they knew exactly, like you said, and until you experience it yourself, it's not seen. It's not experienced. It's not experience. It's just known.
Right. It's not your experience. And the only experience that counts is your experience.
Hmm. And in that same vein, when I'm out about in the world and I guess I was hoping I would be reflected and I wasn't. Something else just popped in before that. Hold on a sec. oh, I get to see what in me, so, you know, I'm offering help. But it turns out it's not just a help. It's so this other person will be in a different emotional state that I'm more comfortable with. And so in just reflecting and not helping, I get to see what's going on in me. You know, there's obviously some ego motivation there. And that's a gift to me, too. You know, it works both ways.
Yes, indeed it does. Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things that dropped in when you said that we have that experience of, I didn't say that. And it's a funny place to be, because when we do a lot of reflective listening, we have the experience that, well, actually, I reflected you perfectly. Right? But you didn't hear it. And so there's that moment, that place that we get to of, did I say that? Is that really what I said? Oh, that's not what I meant. What I meant was, which is really good, because one of the things we know in practice is that conditioned mind is constantly framing things for us, constantly interpreting and putting a spin on everything for us.
Ooh.
And so to hear that, to say it, and have it reflected back, I go, oh gosh, no, I don't mean that, is a powerful tool against conditioned mind.
Yeah. When I've heard talking about, you know, the egocentric karma conditioning self-hate lens, that filter, I always thought of it as coming in, like it was filtering the listening. But just hearing you say that, it filters the outgoing stuff too. It sneaks in tweaks in the wording and...
Yep. Yep.
Huh. Wow.
Yep. It's on guard all the time. It's heavily invested in us maintaining its perspective.
And I think I've heard it defined as karma as behaviors that persist, you know, keep the story going.
Yes.
And I'll say and not say things that help realize the story in the head as quote-unquote proof.
Yes. And isn't that a powerful insight? Right?
Hallelujah.
I mean, we can really see that in close relationship, right? So somebody says something and, you know, you can watch ego go, don't admit that's true. don't admit that's true. You know
or
what I mean?
Or even better, that's not what I did. That's not what I did. Here's the whole evidence of that's why that's not what I did.
Yes. And inside we're going, ooh, 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 ooh. And ego is squirming around trying to get us to protect and defend it.
And so, just in terms of bringing the practice out into the world, it's been a wonder in my closest relationships. And I think it was said during the update, when my partner comes, you know, and she always got something, like you were saying, to share that sort of involves me, at least on a content level, I go to it. I'm like, I'm just going to reflect. All I can do here is reflect. And the defense does come up. If I hear something, I'm quote unquote being heard as being accused of doing something, I'll get off into, well, here's why that's not true. Reasons A, B, and C. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm listening to reflect.
No, we're reflecting. Yeah. We're reflecting.
And like you said, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, and just interrupting that and going back to the listening, 5 minutes later, I can't even, there's no umbrage. There's no, I have to defend anything. There's, the whole thing got stymied.
I bet you have this experience too, where very often the other person, when we reflect them and they talk through whatever is going on, they actually become very generous.
Hmm.
Because what we really want is to be heard. You know,
right.
Yeah. And so after you've heard me, then I can get to that place of, well, and you know, you're really good about blah, blah, blah. And sometimes I just get a little sensitive to it. And you just watch the person start taking responsibility for their own experience because they don't have to defend themselves any longer. They've been heard, listened to, accepted.
And that's the thing, yeah. In a quote-unquote fight, it's not about who's right and wrong. It's just I just want to have, with my experiences, just understand, have
validated.
Someone understand my point of view. Validate
it,
exactly.
Precisely. It's what we're looking for all the time. Yeah. And, of course, it's what the voice in the head doesn't want us to have. That's why the popularity of fights. All right.
Thank you so much. Grateful for practice.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Me too. Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Dan. And Sherry, that's my experience as well, that in all relationships, the close ones as well as the cashier in the grocery store, if I can listen and be present and not interrupt and give my full attention, that's what people want. That's what I want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's how we know we're real. Little kids learn that early on. You know, being seen, being reflected, having somebody's attention. We never outgrow it.
Yes.
Hey, Michael, I wanted to say something that just to clarify. So, yes, I'm here starting the retreat at the monastery. But for folks in the Bay Area, Sangha is still meeting at Center. So don't anybody think, oh, well, there's probably not going to be group tonight because they're all up at the monastery. They're not. So, to be clear.
Great. Great. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we are going to take a break here, Sherry, to hear from our recording and listening program, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right.
Okay.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. RL is based on a radical idea that we could live in a conversation about what is true, what is real, what is arising in life in the moment, instead of with the voices of karmic conditioning. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We now have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report, finding refuge in my own voice, strengthening the awareness of the mentor, and experiencing the 6 weeks as transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply go to livingcompassion.org. Click on Practice to find 2017 programs and then recording and listening training. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence this year with the support of recording and listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Ramita in Charleston.
Well, hello, Ramita.
Hi, Ramita.
Hello. Oh, I am practicing putting myself out there.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. You know, I'm reminded of, I've heard you talk about how when we journal, you know, if we journal every night before we go to bed, we end up catching the same stream of information, the same
mm-hmm.
personality, the same aspect of ourselves. And I think that's what's been happening with me a lot when I sort of choose to put myself in a queue, you know, say, oh, I'm going to, you know, I have this to talk about with Sherry or this to this insight. And I realize, you know, I'm practicing revealing myself, just getting out there, plugging myself into the queue. If I'm going to listen to Project Joy or the open air or another practice call, I'm going to open my mouth and see what comes out.
Yes. Yes. Very good. Very good. Because if you are going to be the contribution that that the particular node of intelligence that we call Ramita is able to offer to life, you got to show up.
Yes, yes. And I have to open my mouth and vocalize, say something.
Yep.
And and I discover...
Let life speak through you, right? Which is the,
yes,
the secret of that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it feels, of course, conditioning is uncomfortable with that, and that's another clue that this is exactly what I need to do.
Yep. That's a great argument for it. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, and I really don't know who this being is. And if
right,
I go around, you know, waiting for, okay, this is something good to talk about, or now you're in the mood to open your mouth and say something, I'm only going to be getting small slivers here and there of what this potential expression of life is.
Yes.
So,
well, and the way you lay it out, it's clearly controlled, right? You're told when you can speak up. You're told when you have something worthy of sharing with other people. And and that source of information is the one we want to put out of business, right? Because otherwise, it's exactly what you compared it to in the beginning. It's like journaling. You know, the same person journals, the same story, same everything, year after year after year after year. If we let ego control when we show up and when we speak up, then that's what we've got. We've got ego's version of reality. But if we practice just, I'm here, okay, and then I'm going to see what life wants to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always something, and it's always good.
Yeah, and it's always energizing. I always, I get surprised. I get, there's more vitality.
And that's not an accident, right? So if we're letting egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, run the show, then that's where the energy is going.
Yes.
It's as simple as that.
Yes.
That's what we're feeding. We're feeding the system that is in control of our life experience. When we don't feed that, then all that life force, that energy, is here for us. Whee!
Yes.
And it's so much more fun. Now, as you pointed out, conditioned mind doesn't think it's fun. Ego does not think it's a good time at all. And so people are made to be very afraid of just being present and letting life speak. But as soon as we get the hang of it, as soon as we stop caring about ego's opinions about what we say and do, then, it's relaxing and fun.
Yeah, and at this point in my life, again, I don't know how much time I've got. And you know, why not? I've been fascinated by, fascinated by human potential all my life. And I feel like, okay, this is where the rubber's hitting the road. This is my chance to fulfill my destiny, whatever that is, and let life
be. Let's let this human have her full potential.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very
Thank
good.
Thank you so much, Sherry. I
Thank
I
you.
Love practice, and I'm so grateful.
Me too. All right.
Good night.
Take care. Go happy.
Treasure yourself.
Treasure yourself. There you go.
Thanks for joining us, Ramita. Sherry, I loved that conversation. What comes up for me when I think about it is that over the years with practice, that
I've learned that it's safe to participate, and you've given a couple of good sort of rules of thumb, and that is that, you know, if I'm always speaking about myself, I'm on pretty safe territory. And if I'm not blaming, then I'm in good, you know. And to have the practice, doing it in a practice environment gives me the experience and the faith and confidence to do it at work or at home. I'm never at a loss for words. I can always, there's always something there to express that's not going to be a detriment to the situation.
That's right. That is so perfect, Michael. All you're doing is expressing your own experience. So it's always a contribution to whatever is going on. Now, it's not that people can't or won't become offended by that, because people can be offended by anything, right, when identified with ego. But that's okay, because all you're doing is talking about your own experience. You're just expressing that. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And we have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Ellie.
Hey, Ellie.
Yeah.
Hey, Sherry. Hey, Michael.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well.
Good. What's going
life
on?
Life is life. I was seeing something the other day, and it was one of those interactions that it, like, happened, and ego keeps bringing it up. And keeps bringing it up and keeps bringing it up. And
remember when that happened? Remember when that happened?
Yeah.
Remember when that happened? As if you could forget.
And really making it into a problem. And so I've been looking at, like, how that happens, and this is specifically around a friend expressing anger, and when I was like, okay, so, you know, how are you going to care for yourself in this? Basically saying, well, I'm angry, and that's okay. And my response was, like, my ego just got really, like, entangled, is how it feels.
So, Ellie, was this friend angry with you, or just angry?
Just angry.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow. Okay. And conditioning had to take that on as a problem. As if people, as we were just talking about with Michael, as if people somehow shouldn't have their own experience.
Yeah, yeah. And once I said something, it was directed toward me.
Ah.
But it wasn't initially, right?
You perhaps had a better idea about this person's life experience, and it wasn't well received?
Yeah. And so I'm just really, like, and ego, like, there is not a way, like, I don't know how to just be present with that.
With the whole situation.
Yeah, like, in the moment, there was, like I said, it was just completely entangled, enthralled. Like, there was not, things got really, I couldn't think straight.
And Ellie, how are your reflective listening skills?
I was trying to do reflective listening as best I could. Once I realized that I was getting into reaction, I kind of stepped back and started just reflecting to her. Mm-hmm. And she didn't receive that. Like, eventually, like, it was just like, okay, let's just move on.
Uh-huh. And so do you have the kind of relationship that would allow you to say, I didn't show up the way I would like to have shown up before. Might I have another opportunity? And I'll tell you that the way I'm going to approach that, the way I'd like to approach that opportunity is just to reflect you, just to listen to you instead of getting myself all in your stuff or needing to have any ideas. I just want to be able to hear what you have to say. You think she'd be open to it?
Yeah, she totally would.
Mm-hmm. That might be better than replaying, letting conditioning replay the whole thing until you're both old. Yeah, because that's the kind of thing that eventually, you know, conditioning's, I don't know if this is really an accurate way of saying it, but it sure looks that way. Its whole deal is ruin the relationship if possible.
Yeah.
It's ruined everything for us, if possible, and exactly that way. Instead of coming at something from an honest, clear, loving, kind place, it wants to get it there in conditioned mind, make it into a problem, go over it and over and over it until it's become a big impossible deal and like that. So if we can intervene and, you know, I mean, who knows how it'll go? It might not go well at all. You might get to the point of saying, okay, I'm there again. I've lost control. I've lost control of my ability to just listen. So, you know, can we make another date for another time? Because I would really like to be able to do this, and boy, I'm stumbling all over myself. You know, most people are okay with that sort of thing. Most people are okay with somebody who cares enough about them that they actually want to change how they are in order to be a better friend.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to let me know, right?
Oh. I will totally let you know. And one of the things that comes up is that I'm not okay with anger. There's a story there. And so I can't, like, and there's this idea that I have to kind of come to terms with that within myself before I can go back to her.
No. Because this is a perfect place to practice. She's not angry with you. I mean, that's what you're working up to, right? I mean, this is perfect. This is just somebody who is able to express anger, to feel and express anger. This is a role model. So no, that you're in school. You don't need to graduate before you can have conversations with people who have a different orientation to something than you do.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank
Good.
You.
Good. Can't wait to hear. All right. Thanks, Ellie.
Thanks, Sherry. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Ellie. Sherry, I love that spirit of experimentation and inquiry and openness to see how things work. It's very inspiring to me.
Yeah. If you think about it, we've got 7 billion plus nodes of intelligence, right? Expressions of life. Why would we not be curious about what the heck is going on with everybody else? They're obviously not like us. So instead of, well, one of us is then wrong, and right, instead of approaching it from that perspective, just how about, and we have these marvelous skills to find out. We can reflect. We can also draw out. We can clarify. So we can really actually find out, to the best of our ability, what's going on with someone instead of just looking to conditioned mind and isolating.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
What, can you imagine how different our world would be? No, we actually can't, but it's a good way to start a sentence. 7 billion plus souls, just human beings on this planet. What could we accomplish if we were a team rather than everybody in an adversarial stance? What are the odds that we could ever be right, given how many experiences there are available to how many people? What a very, very silly notion, and what a sad thing to cling to, that I need to be right. I need to know. I need to have the answer. You know, the best I'm ever going to have is the opportunity, as Ramita was saying, get a view of this human being and what's possible for this human being. Once we clear out the debris, the karmic debris.
Yes, and what I saw as you were talking is that when I can remember the attitude of I don't know and the realization of I don't know, it mm-hmm. just opens me to a lot more possibility and flexibility and ways of being and ways of approaching situations that are much more yeah. creative.
Oh, yes. Fun, exciting. Conditioning, going with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is like getting a car and driving around the same block for the entire time you have that car. Now, we wouldn't do it. We absolutely wouldn't do it, right? But that's what it's like to live in egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. It is covering the same ground over and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So with practice, yeah. we realize, we can go a lot of places.
Yeah, a lot of different new places.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, there's one showing up about once a minute or once a mm-hmm. second. Really paying
yes.
attention.
Yes, yes, exactly. And we have one showing up right now in the queue as a new caller.
Oh, good. Oh, very good, very good. That was very smooth, Michael. Very good.
Thank you. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Barbara here from Australia.
Oh, well,
how
are you?
I'm good.
Haven't heard in a long time. What's going on?
If I recall, the last time I called in, I was having the conversation in my head about quitting practice. And
yes.
I just wanted to say, if anybody ever has that happen, calling into Open Air is an excellent disidentification tool.
Which is why there's so much resistance to doing it, right? It's a miracle when somebody actually pulls it off.
Yeah, it was great. I remember you asking me what was the reason I was being told, and it was something like, my life's just gone downhill since I started practice, and you just burst out laughing, and it was just like bursting the bubble. It was like,
uh-huh.
So, yeah.
You could hear it, couldn't you, when you said it? We're back to reflective listening
again,
right? You could hear it. Well, that doesn't make any sense.
I know. So,
I love it.
Yeah,
you didn't quit.
I didn't quit. Still here. I've made my decision around my housing, and the world hasn't ended. Nothing much has changed since I did that. So that is great.
What you decide? Did you go back to the country? Are you still in the city?
No, I'm still in the city. And it doesn't mean I won't go back to the country, but I won't go back to that particular place.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I let go of that place. And it feels good.
So you'll go to a new place if you go somewhere.
Yeah. And something, so many things I've heard on all the Project Joy calls and everything have been so helpful, but there was a quote recently about, well, the thing that struck me is that I often hear my sort of say to myself, anything is possible, but this quote actually said, everything is possible, which was just, it was like, wow, okay, that's taking it to a whole nother level. And it, yeah, the decision has just felt like, okay, it's opened up lots of possibilities, like anything, who knows what's going to happen? Who knows where I'll end up?
Yes. And from that perspective, it doesn't really matter, does it? I mean, with that perspective,
no.
You're never stuck anywhere.
Yes, and it's just, I've got so much gratitude for practice because, you know, without practice I would have fallen for lots of stories about around that decision and around, you know, like the content changes, but the process of trying to make me suffer over something would have been the same. And I've just seen it. And, you know, one of the things that I've seen is this sort of longing, this feeling of longing for that beauty, longing for, you know, that beautiful backyard and all of those trees. And but what I've experienced is that I can have that, like that's in me. I've had that experience that I'm longing for. Is I can, you know, as soon as I catch myself longing for that, it's almost like, well, that's what I'm having.
Yes. Yes, Barbara.
Yeah, it's really...
That's the secret, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember, like, years ago on a coaching call, talking about, you know, a retreat that I was wanting to go to, but I didn't think I was well enough, and, you know, my coach asking me what was the feelings that I was hoping, you know, what was it about going to the retreat, what was I hoping to get, what was I hoping to feel, and him saying then, well, you know, you could have, you know, those experiences, you can have them. And the liberate, you know, and I'm just really more and more experiencing the liberation in that.
Yes. Yeah. It reminds me, did you ever see the movie A Room with a View?
Long time ago. I can't remember.
Long time ago, old movie. And the scene where the father taps on his heart and says, here's where the bird sings.
Yeah.
And that's what you're describing, isn't it?
Yeah, because as I've looked at it more closely, it's like I'm already experiencing that feeling, but I'm calling it longing for something. But it's already this feeling in my heart.
That's right.
Yeah.
Conditioning. Yeah. Conditioned mind is calling it longing, right? Twists it into, and you don't have that. And that's that place where it's constantly getting us to leave having what we want, to long for that, go somewhere in the hope of having it, and we're just getting farther and farther away from what we already had.
Yeah. And just
that's
those years
big.
Of practice, it's big, you know. And
it's kind of the whole deal.
Yeah.
Just between you and me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm very grateful. And I just wanted to also just, partly I was calling in to ask Sherry, like last week on one of the calls in the morning, you were talking about a period where you had a pain that started in your shoulder and it moved up into your head, and ultimately you'd found a way to work with that with somebody that was really helpful. And if anyone was interested, you know, you were open to share that. So I'm wanting to inquire about that. I'm aware that I live in another country, but I've got the pain that started in my head and moved down into my neck and to my shoulder. that's still happening. So,
okay. Well, technology is a wonderful thing. And
I thought it might be. Yeah.
Yep. This fellow does work with people remotely, and so
okay.
if you send a little note in to information at Living Compassion or Information at Zen Center, and let me know, I'll send you the information.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. That was to learn that to have that diagnosis of it as chemical. Was extraordinary. Yes. Mm-hmm. So good. Yes, I will.
Yeah, no, I'm interested. I've been trying
I'll
lots of things
you
that are. Yeah, I really hearing your process with the story. I thought, yep, that sounds like me.
Yes,
trying lots of mechanical type things and energetic things and all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm-hmm. And then it's in this. Completely different. I mean, it's part of all of that, yes, but that for me, and I hope for you, that's not the origin of it. And so reaching the origin of it frees up all of the, you know, it's what I just saw as I was describing that is getting to the kind of the root of a karma. You know, we work with something, we see this and this, and we see something else, and we're working on it. And what we're doing is closing in on that, we could say, the first sensation of it, the first expression of it, the place where it sort of lodged. And when we release that, then there's freedom on all the levels. And that's what this experience has been for me. And so I'm going to pray it is for you too.
Great. Thanks, Sherry.
Yeah, thank you. I'll say this to you, and because there may be other people who are listening, who, it is a marvelous combination of the physical and mental, emotional, spiritual. And this fellow works with people who are two things, tuned into what's going on with them, because that's really important, able to pay close attention. He loves working with people in our practice and can be really honest. So we're able to see what's going on with us and be absolutely honest about what that is, because that's the only way he can do the diagnostics.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Great.
Let me know. Thank you,
Barbara.
I will.
Okay, thanks so much. Thanks, Michael.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Barbara. Sherry, we've come to the end of another great show.
My gosh, already?
Yes, time flies.
Oh, it does. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much for everything.
Yes, and we'll miss you tonight at Center, and we'll see you there again soon.
You'll carry on, though.
Yes, we will.
Oh, I love that.
We will.
That's all we can hope for, right? That we'll all carry on as we all do whatever it is that we're called to do, wherever we're called to do that. So that's very good. All right. Thank you, sir. See you soon.
Thank you, Sherry. Good night.
Good night.